fellowship. Praise the Lord. There we are. We're in the spotlight here. Good to see everybody. What a great weekend. Amen. We can be together, and we need to pray. Steelers are playing, I believe, this afternoon, and the Yankees are playing tonight. So anyway, we got to pray. Bring it down to that level. No, you know what? God is here. That's the focus. And we're so glad that you're here, Pastor Phil and Alexa and the eldership. Thank you for allowing me to be here this weekend. Guess what? Look out the window. There's no snow. Usually when I come to Grace Fellowship, it's 30 below. The first time I ever came to this church, I think there must have been probably about 6 or 8 feet of snow. Pastor Phil picked me up. I actually flew in on that occasion. So we thank God for what He's doing. Great to be here today. We bless the Larkins. What a great testimony of the grace of God. Why don't you give it up one more time? These are heroes right here, heroes. Heroes of the faith. This is the weekend. The focus is, by the way, before I carry on, I want to acknowledge my wonderful traveling compadre. This is my Timothy. This is Daniel Ebenezer, all the way from Chennai, India. That's it. And he is heading up with me our CRI program, which is City Reach Institute for young leaders 18 to 26. We actually changed it. Now it's 18 to 30. So if you're 30, you're welcome. And that's actually the program that our dear Sister Anna is involved in. And she gives her greetings and so on. And maybe text her once in a while. And send a care package of cookies down or something that would be from the home front. Just be a great source of encouragement. We see God working in her life and all the lives of the young people. We have about 24 students from Elam Bible College down now with us. And actually, that's where Pastor Phil and Alexa were at, and that's where they met, and that's where afterwards they got married. And Brother Paul Johansson, the co-founder, and I, we came up with an idea that when couples meet at Nysom and they get married, there should be some sort of eternal tithe that Nysom should. Just joking. Moving right along, but we're just blessed to be here today. The focus is on unity. And if you have your Bibles, I'd like you to turn with me into the Word today in page 634, okay? You know exactly where I'm at. We're looking at Joshua chapter 5 and going into chapter 6. And while you're looking there, I didn't bring my lunch today, but it was this church, Grace Fellowship. You've helped us on various projects, and this is just a sample of the backpack outreach that you were able to support a couple months ago in August. We gave out 1,200 backpacks to 1,200 inner city kids. We say it's all good in the hood. And This is pencils and a composition notebook and a big glue stick and a portfolio and so on. So we gave these out, plus we gave out gospel literature, plus we gave out bottles of water. I was over there. We had various sites, and I was at the site of Coney Island, and the church that we partner with in Coney Island. It's so difficult, you're talking really in the hood, that they have bulletproof glass in the church office. How'd you like to be, Nikki, how'd you like to be serving, you know, it's not Pentecostal, you're just dodging the bullets, you know what I mean? And they are right on the front lines. And the whole parking lot, they had tents out there, the whole parking lot was filled with probably about 100 families, and actually that's when I arrived, and then throughout the day another 400 arrived. We had balloons, we had clowns, we had face painting, we had ministry. I was able to share the word, and there must have been over 70 children and their parents raised their hand and gave their lives to Jesus Christ. Come on, give them praise. Hallelujah. There's a shout in heaven when one comes into the kingdom. So I brought this, and I wanted to let you know that you're a part of what's happening in the inner city of New York, and we want to say thank you so kindly. Let's pray together as we ask the Lord to unfold the word of the Lord to us today. Father, we thank you. Come on, just lift your hand now with me. Lord, we thank you that you woke us up this morning. You set us upon a path. And Lord, today we thank you for the body of Christ, for it's the body. Your Bible, your word tells us one shall put 1,000 to flight and two shall put 10,000 to flight. How much more as we join together under the banner of Jesus Christ, one Lord, one faith, one Spirit, one baptism. No demon in hell can stop the united work of God's people for your kingdom's sake. So God, we pray, if there be others that don't feel like they belong or they're on the periphery, let them know, Lord, your love today. Let them experience, Lord, the ministry and the blessing of the body of Christ. For we move together as a mighty force, as a mighty army of God's men and women. And we know, Lord Jesus, that you are the commander-in-chief, and we're following you and hearing your voice today. So God, we pray that you'll speak to us, encourage us, that we are members of the body of Christ. No one is thrown under the bus. We're all your children, bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Hallelujah. We were a nobody, but you made us somebody. We were orphans, but Lord, you brought us in. You become our elder brother, and you're praying that our faith would fail not. So Lord, bless the word and your people today, for we ask it in Jesus' precious name. And everybody said, come on, put your hands together one more time. Give him praise. Yes, he's worthy. Now, yesterday in our session, we had a session Friday night, and then we had a session yesterday morning, and then they had canoe ministry, and it was great. Boat ride, and I mean, the things, listen, if you didn't come, we understand, you know, you weren't able to make it, but I mean, some of the stories we were hearing was pretty wild, you know. They got into the bed, and it was a little bit crunchy, and then they had to put another mattress on there, and three wives, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Anyway, there's unity right there, and then they, you know, the bed thing, and squeaking around, and bonfire. I mean, it was a happening thing, s'mores, and everything. So it was a great time to be together. The weather was gorgeous yesterday. Just a great time. Hardly any cell phone service. Thank you, Jesus. Maybe we should have thrown these in the bonfire. You know what I mean? Beautiful, beautiful. But I asked in our session yesterday, how many have been at the church in various stages? So I'm going to ask this again real quickly. If I could just see a show of hands. How many have been in the church for 30 years? 30? Okay, you could put it down. Just don't half-mast here. Come on, 30 is really something. How about 35? 35, okay, God bless you. Do I hear 40? Now, this is not bingo, okay? Okay, how about 45? 45, Lord have mercy. Okay, how about 50? 50 years. 50 years. Could the people that are here 50 years, could you just stand? You're here 50 years in this church. Give it up. Okay. I'm talking this church, okay? Not the Church of Jesus Christ. Oh, what's that? 36. Prophetically, they must have been prophesying it 50 years ago. Okay, 36. Let's hear it up for 36. Yes, the original member. That's it. Come on, brother. That's it. 36. Okay, how many 20? How many 15? How many 10? How many 1? Okay, I got Pastor Phil encouraged me. Okay, corrected me, encouraged me. How many have been just come into this church from a year or less? Could I see your hand? Whoa, why don't we have these people stand? Come on, those people, come on, come on, come on. Hallelujah. Just turn around, give them a high five. Come on, turn around, give them a high five. Just bless them. Whoa. Say, devil, take that, put it in your pipe and smoke it. That's why we're doing. That's why you're doing what you're doing. That's why we're renovating. That's why we're expanding. Because we're making room not only for people, but we're making room for ministry to be released and imparted to a city that is so desperately in need of Jesus. Can I get an amen? So we had three sessions. The first session was the purpose of unity. The second session was the prayer of unity. And this morning, I'm going to share with you about the power of unity. And we're going to go over into Joshua chapter 5. But I want to give you a few scriptures. It says, first of all, in the New Testament, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and it's talking about Holy Communion. And it says in verse 28 of chapter 11, it's about communion. He says, let a man examine himself, eat the bread, drink the cup, not with a bad attitude. And then it says in verse 29, it says, for those that eat and drink unworthily unto damnation of himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Verse 10, for this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. I know Paul is talking about the communion, the broken body of our Lord Jesus Christ, the symbol of His brokenness for you, and a symbol of the shed blood that was shed on Calvary's cross for you and I. But I want to go to another dimension, and that is sometimes the reason why we in the body of Christ are weak or sick, or the word says are sleeping, meaning it's not you're taking your afternoon siesta nap. In other words, that word sleep means where you're dead, is because sometimes we don't discern the body of Christ. I can't do it alone. Do you know that even Tonto, did you know that even the Lone Ranger had Tonto? Some people are looking at me, who is Tonto and who is the Lone Ranger? So your assignment is, go on Reverend Google this afternoon, and he will tell you who is Tonto and the Lone Ranger. There are no islands to ourselves. Paul the Apostle, his ministry was not of himself. He names the names of all the people that helped him in the last chapter of the book of Romans. And so how we have arrived here today, myself and our ministry in New York City, we have about 35 staff right now. For us to do what we're doing, I thank God for the bean counters. I mean the finance people, hallelujah. They keep me on the straight and narrow. They protect me so we're not in Rikers Island ministry early. I thank God for the board of directors that is helping us to maintain and stay on focus with the DNA that God has placed within us. We have 70 rooms, 70 toilets, thank you, Jesus. And those rooms, those toilets, those sinks, those meals need to be prepared and those rooms need to be cleaned. We can't do it ourselves. And Paul the Apostle says, he says, if we could only discern the Lord's body, you won't be sick, you won't be weak, and you won't give up the ghost early. Are you with me today? And so let's go over to our word in our text this morning. And by the way, Daniel has some information in the back. We covered your prayers because we have what's called Operation Drumstick that's coming up in November. We're feeding 5,000 homeless people turkey dinners. You say, oh, big deal. What does a turkey dinner do? A turkey dinner saves lives, not only physically, but a man was ready to commit suicide. He came into the line, got the food. He loved the food. He got the ministry. He gave his life to Jesus. He says, thank you for praying for me because I was just about to jump off the bridge and commit suicide all through a turkey dinner. Thank God for good old Brother Tom the turkey. 400 turkeys give their lives for the outreach. Each meal is $1.96. If you'd like to know a little bit about that and so on, you can feel free to receive that for yourself. One of the scriptures that I felt the Lord give me, we're talking about unity, is from Proverbs chapter 22, and it says in verse 28, "Remove not the ancient landmarks which your fathers have set." And there are landmarks, there are stakes that God puts into the ground in a church, in a fellowship, in a ministry, not to harm us, not to hurt us, but to keep us on target. There's a book that I shared with the leadership and the team over the weekend, and it's called Drift. Mission Drift. You might want to get it on Amazon, and how easy it is in our society to start out good and begin to drift. And so Proverbs tells us that there are landmarks, divine boundaries, prophetically put there by the word of the Lord to keep us on target. In your marriage, in your family, you think about unity. I think about a visible demonstration here in this church. I mean, the Larkins, 63 years. I'm sure they had a few discussions along the way. Oh, not disagreements, but a few discussions, a few special moments. But here they are as a testimony of the grace of God. 63 years. It can happen not only in a marriage, and it can happen in a church. It can happen in a community. Can I get an amen? So the Bible tells us over here in Joshua chapter 5, they've crossed over the Jordan River. They didn't do it the way it was done in Moses' time, crossing the Red Sea. Not with the Charlton Heston, I mean Moses, but somebody got it. In chapter 5, it tells us in verses 11 and 12 and 13 that as they crossed over, they no longer ate the manna, but they began to eat the fruit. And I must tell you today that you have crossed over Jordan. In the physical aspects of the renovation, the house being bought, taken down, excavated. Now you can drive by and not just see an old abandoned house and some trees. You can actually see visible activity, see the church, beautiful things that are happening. It's not simply about real estate. It's about a visible demonstration of there is a people here in this town that have decided to make a statement of excellence, that we love God, we love the community, and we're here to stay by the grace of God. And so the Bible tells us here, it says in verse 13, and it came to pass, say to your neighbor, it came to pass. That's a little weak, but wake up your other neighbor, say it came to pass. It came to pass that when Joshua was by Jericho, he lifted up his eyes, and look, behold, there stood a man over against him, with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said, are you for us or are you against us? And he said, no. He says, but as the captain of the Lord of hosts am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him,
and said, "My Lord and my servant." Verse 15, "And the captain of the Lord of hosts said unto Joshua, Loose the shoes from off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground." The power of unity. God took Joshua and the people of God out of Egypt, across the Red Sea. They were in the wilderness for 40 years, and now they cross over Jordan. And I must tell you today that in the process of all these blessings and miracles in the days of Joshua with God's people, this is really where God wanted them to be. He was preparing miracle after a miracle for a major miracle, for a mega miracle. And there are things that God has done in this church, renovating this, putting that on, adding the addition, acquiring property, selling this, getting that, and all these things along the way, as Pastor Phyllis said, how God has provided. But now here is Joshua. The Lord has everything all set up, and the Bible says that He set them up. He brought them to the city called Jericho. Oh, hallelujah. God works in wonderful ways to bring you and I to His full purpose and His full destiny. I give you four principles today to this message called the power of unity. Number one, how are we going to be unified and see God's power released? First of all, we have to understand that when He looks at Jericho, can you imagine? Here He is, and He's looking at Jericho. He's looking at this mass city that are walled. It says about the walls of Jericho are approximately 13 feet. Now, if you look up here at Brother Peter, I'm about 6 feet high, okay? 6 feet high. Say 6 feet high. And good looking. Okay. And now go about another 6 feet. That's 12 plus one. We're probably almost up to that speaker. So here we are. Here's Joshua. He comes and he's looking at this city. He's looking at a mountain of stone and mortar. And it's not sheetrock. It's not, flake board. It's unbelievable. And it says, in that city, not only were the walls of Jericho about 13 feet, there was a watchtower that would go about 28 feet high. What was the watchtower there? The watchtower was there so that the army or some military person would be on the lookout to make sure that they weren't going to be taken out. And they also, when you do some research, there was also not only the wall, but then there was a retaining wall. So you had one wall and then that other wall. I mean, it was just seemed insurmountable. And so the first one I leave with you today, the power of unity, you need to understand who goes before you. And the Bible reveals that in the midst of this challenge, Jesus Christ Himself reveals Himself, and He says, "I am, number one, the captain of the Lord of hosts." Hallelujah. He is the commander, and He is in the chief, and He is in the house. And the commander-in-chief, what does he say? He says, everybody look up here. He says, Joshua, if you're going to take the city, it can't be like Moses who crossed over the Red Sea. It's not going to be how you crossed over the Jordan. You're going to have to take your shoes off, which represent everything that man has made. And he says, I am going to do something that you cannot invent, you cannot make happen, you cannot somehow manipulate, you cannot maneuver, you can't take any credit, you can't do it because of your skill set, because you went to a leadership seminar, because you graated from Bible College, because you have a card carrying, you're part of an organization and so on. He said, what I'm going to do in your life, it is so over the top, it is so holy, that as you call upon my name, he said, every wall, every force of resistance is going to have to bow at the name of Jesus Christ. Come on, church. The reason why we need to take our shoes off. And the shoes in those days would protect. That was very, very specific to the longevity. How am I going to do it, Lord? How am I going to make it? And so he says, I'm not just coming as the captain. He says, I'm coming as the captain of the Lord of hosts. So I have not only myself, but I have the whole heaven at your disposal. Did you know that, Joshua? And some of you today, you have come into this church, and we thank God for what God is doing, but in your own marriage, your own la familia, I'm not speaking in tongues, that's Spanish, okay? In your own family, there are mountains of stone, there are walls, and you can't move forward. The Bible says that they couldn't go into Jericho, and nobody could go out. So the first word I leave with you today is the captain of the Lord of hosts is in the house. Hallelujah. Not Brother Peter's in the house. The captain, the Lord of hosts, is with us at our disposal. And then he says to us over there, he said, and he got what I'm going to do in your life and in Israel is holy. It is holy. Go to chapter 6 quickly. And it says, nothing was going in and out and so on, verse 2. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given you the land of Jericho. What is God saying to us? The Lord said to me, I've given you Titusville, Pennsylvania. I have given you Oil City. I have given you Ecuador. I have given you Tanzania. I have given you Bosnia. We're looking around like somehow we're sort of like bobblehead. Well, I don't know. I don't know about the economy. The Republicans are over here. The Democrats are over there. The independents, who knows what. And all these other groups that are completely unhinged are making our country crazy. I'm here to tell you today, I didn't come as CNN. I came with the word of Almighty God. And you've got to get your focus off your TV box and get your eyes on the captain of the Lord of hosts. He is with you. No weapon that is formed against us is going to prosper, and every tongue that should rise up against you in judgment thou shalt condemn, for this is the heritage of the servants of our God. You're saying, God, I've never done this before. I guess I can swim across water. Maybe I can use one of those paddle boats over there at the camp. Maybe I'm going to, you know, somehow get a life raft or something. But here I have walls. I've got walls. I don't have machine guns. I don't have a ballistic missile. Quantico has not given, you know, all the architectural means at that day of how to build guns. I have to trust in the living God, the captain of the Lord of hosts. Hallelujah. And what does he say to us? He says, Joshua, number two, I want you to do number two. What is number two? I want you to compass the city. What does that mean? He says, I want all of Israel, you know the story, to march around those walls six times once a day. 6 days you're going to walk around. And on the seventh day you're going to walk around seven times on the final day. Six is the number of man. Seven is the number of the Lord. In other words, the Lord is saying to us, in fact, he even says in those verses, you read it while you watch the game this afternoon in halftime, as you pray for Brother Ben, anyway, he says, men of war. Let me tell you something. This is not a playhouse. This is not a little Lego thing. We're talking about spiritual warfare, spiritual battle. God is calling us to armor up. He's calling us to armor up like in Ephesians chapter 6. And he tells us there, he says, I want you to encompass the whole city in the social aspect, in the spiritual aspect, in the economic dimension, in every dimension. God is looking for a people now to encompass the whole city. When we bought our old abandoned hospital building, And I mean, it was a dump with a capital D. The back end there, it had a little Volkswagen. We called it Herbie. I mean, it was a dump. It was terrible. I mean, we had rats as big as vans. We could put our teams in, Pastor Phil, you know, go out there and minister to hurting people. It was a mess. And so the first thing we did when we got the building is we painted the front door. My staff is looking at me like I'm a little bit, you know, anyway. And I said, that's what God has called us to do. As soon as we started to chip the paint and start to prime and paint, the neighbors came running across the streets. And I said, we're just here. Is everything okay? And they said, oh, thank God you're here. The church has arrived. Because the previous owner, he was doing all sorts of things, late night construction, so on. I said, we're just painting the front door. They said, the fact that you're painting the front door are two things to us. You care about the community, and you're here to stay. We think somehow we've got to come out with some big revival meeting. And you know what? You are the revival meeting. I'm the revival meeting. We bring revival to the post office, to the grocery store, to the hotel, to the firehouse, wherever we're at. We're encompassing the city with the presence of God. Can I get a witness? Number three, he tells us over there in Joshua chapter 6, and in verse 4, and he says in actually verse 3, he says, when you compass the city, you men of war, go around the city once, and you shall do it 6 days. The seventh, in verse 4, seven priests shall bear before the ark seven trumpets of ram's horns, and the seventh day you shall compass the city, and the priest shall blow the trumpets, verse 5, with a long, say with me, long blast. Now, how is Joshua and his people, and God is giving him the blueprint? Number 3, he says, when you go and you compass around the city, I want you to bring with you the Ark of the Covenant. Number 3 is the covenant. Say it with me, covenant. And what was in the covenant in the Old Testament? I'm glad you asked that question this morning. There were 3 things that were in the ark. Number 1, 2 tablets of the 10 commandments. And what do the 10 commandments speak of? The prophetic call and the prophetic word of the Lord upon Israel. So you may have mountains of walls in the midst of you. You're not talking about, well, you know, I've got a wart. You know, Pastor, could you pray for me? I got a little sniffle. We're talking about the whole city is resistant. The city is shut down. That town represents power and popularity and politics. It has a sense by which it's going to set trends in the economic and the political and social aspects of the community. And so the Bible tells us in Psalm 119 and verse 105, thy word is what? A lamp, say lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. The second piece that was in the Ark of the Covenant was Aaron's rod that budded. What was the rod? It was the rod that he had when he went to Pharaoh and he put the rod down, and that rod ate the serpents of Pharaoh. What does that speak of? It speaks of the supernatural. It speaks not only of the prophetic of the Ten Commandments, but secondly, it speaks of the power of the supernatural. So that when we're going through the city and there are strongholds and difficulties, we're saying, God, it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. There are walls of resistance. There are walls that are against us. But I have news for you today. The captain of the Lord of hosts is with us, and we're not going going ill-equipped. We're going with His Word. Oh, thank God for the Word of God that is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Secondly, we're not only taking His prophetic Word, but we're taking the power of the Holy Spirit. Oh, hallelujah. The devil is a liar and God is true. Some of you have walls of finance. Some of you have walls of poverty. Some of you have walls of inferiority. Some people have walls of cancer and disease and sickness. Some have walls that there are broken relationships and you can't get in and you can't get out. I have news for you today. Bring the Ark of the Covenant of God to that wall and it shall bow at the name of Jesus. Oh, come on. Can I get a witness here today? God is here. And the jar of manna. The jar of manna. What does that mean? It means God's provision. That He is going to sustain us in the journey. Man, we've been in New York. We thank God for what He's doing. But there have been some challenges we've faced. And with our lending group here. And trying to work out mortgage, refi. 3 years. Are you kidding me? 3 years. And then when we first bought the building, working with the city, because the water meter was running in reverse for 2 years. And I went to the water meter people, and they came, and they sent one inspector, and two, four. Finally, the fifth senior inspector came, and I kept saying to all of them, I said, you know, I'm not an engineer. I may not be the brightest bulb in the lot, but this thing is running in reverse. Hello, Houston, we have a problem here. And after the fifth senior inspector comes, he says, oh, yes, Reverend, you're right. It is running in reverse. And they gave us a $24,000 credit on our water bill. But I want to ask you today, what is the thing that holds you as a child of God from 1 year to 2 years? What is the thing that holds you from 1 year to 3 years? I must tell you today, get the jar of manna. Let that word come and be the provision and strength. A verse that has come to me recently, write it down, from Daniel chapter 8 and verse 27. Daniel gets a revelation from God, a vision, and he's so overwhelmed, and he says, oh my Lord, and the Bible says in one translation, I'm tired, I'm wore out, I'm fatigued, I'm dazed, I'm totally exhausted. But the Bible says in that same verse, but I arose because I understood there was the king's business at hand. And when you understand you have king business at hand, I'm telling you, even Arthur and Ritus and AARP can't stand before the presence of Almighty God. We have about us the king's business to do. Can I get an amen? The king's business. So even moving sheetrock, though it may be, you know, hurting your back, God is the energizer to energize us by the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, contracts can be broken. Contracts can be amended. Contracts and treaties can be ripped up. But God's covenant can never be ripped up. It is the constant in your life. And you need to allow the covenant of God to come upon your life. And I ask you, what is in your ark of God's covenant in your life? Well, in my box is an Xbox and HBO. And no, I'm not talking about those boxes. I'm talking about the ark of the covenant of God. Oh, hallelujah. His word to keep me focused. And now I see Aaron. There's a supernatural dimension to my life. And now I've got the manna that's able to sustain me. And so my Bible tells me there that number four, as we close quickly, Pastor Phil said, I said, what time do we close? He said 1:35. So, sorry, I meant 11:35. Okay. We're coming to the city. Come on, church, walk with me for a minute. These walls, It wasn't, you got this wall here, but then you had to go many feet back here because there was another retaining wall in that city of Jericho. And there were different levels to Jericho. It wasn't just flat. And there's different dimensions into a city. So here you are, you're looking at this wall, these walls, and maybe there are walls in your family, in your marriage. There are walls in your city. And you're looking at this thing and you're saying, as our brother from Nysom, he's a beautiful Spanish brother, and he used to work in maintenance. He's now in food service, short brother. His name is Augusto. He was taking out the trash one day. We had so much construction, and he's standing there. He says, "Tomas, Tomas," and he called one of our guys, 911. He couldn't do it himself. Tomas, and maybe you're saying here today, "Pastor, it's Tomas, Tomas." But there is a people of God that are standing with you. Amen? The power of unity. There are certain things that you can do with one or two, but now God brings them into another dimension. As we were praying in Pastor's study, I really felt as we were praying that God has been preparing this church. And what is He doing this past weekend? He's tying the knots in relationship in your life and mine tighter and stronger, because He's going to send this church as a net and a network into the deep, and you're going to be able to handle any strain, any stress, any attack, any difficulty, because He's tying the knots of godly relationship one with another. Hallelujah. Are you with me today? There's two amens. It's okay. And so as we close in just a moment, the Bible says that they came around the city six times in 6 days, and on the seventh day, seven times. As I began to read this, it's interesting because you go over to verse 10, and it says, I think maybe this is the biggest miracle, and Joshua commanded the people, saying, "You shall not shout nor make noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I bid you to shout, then you shall shout." That's amazing. Now I thought to myself, why is it, was God weak? Why couldn't they just go right up and say, "In the name of Jesus, you know, abracadabra, bam," you know, like, you know, Portuguese chef, bam, you know, just down. You know why? Is because it took all those days to get the whole body of Christ, to get all of Israel functioning and loving and caring and ministering and working. They weren't saying anything, but God was knitting their hearts together so that when there was the word to shout, that God is going to do something supernatural. The Bible says up there in Acts chapter 1, they were there and they were praying for 10 days after Jesus ascended up into heaven. Why didn't the Holy Ghost show up one day, the next day after he ascended? Is because God had to put the people together so they could learn how to follow leadership, follow the direction, understand the prophetic call, understand the leadership, understand God's direction and the ministry that God has called them to do. And the Bible says, and then suddenly, and they began to speak with another tongue. Let me tell you, when you begin to join together and begin to love God and love one another, there is just what one voice, there is one spirit, there is one clarion call. And the Bible says the priest would blow from the ram's horn. We're not tooting our own horn, church. We're tooting God's horn. And every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. Hallelujah! Jesus is alive today. Why a ram's horn? Because when Abraham was going to offer Isaac and he was going to come with a knife, the Lord said, "Stop, I have seen you. Go, there is a ram caught in a thicket." And that ram became the the sacrifice. And so we blow the trumpet because we understand that God will intervene supernaturally. Number four, I call this consume the city. And they all shouted together. They blew the ram's horn. They shouted together. What is the power of unity? I can't do it myself. Brother Peter can't do it. Daniel can't do it. Pastor Phil can't do it. The elders can't do it. And maybe you're struggling today. There are walls in your life and you're just saying, for me and my husband, we just can't make it. But I have news for you today. When there's a body of Christ around you, those walls that are 13 feet high, the Bible tells us they actually fell flat. They didn't fall inward or outward. They didn't fall on any person. One translation says they actually imploded, like they completely collapsed straight down so that you and I are not going to hurt. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet right now as we pray and as we come before the Lord today. God putting our hearts together, and as they began to shout, and the city, the people didn't know what was going on. The Bible tells us they went into that city and they consumed that city with fire. I have news for you today. The fire of God is in each and every person here today. And He's looking for a people that will say, by the grace of God, I'm not going to do it alone. I can't do it alone. It's impossible. But with God, nothing is impossible. The captain of the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. I take with me this morning, again, a fresh understanding that He said, those walls that are before you, you cannot do it yourself. But if you would equip yourself with God's Ark of His covenants, His Word which speaks of that which is prophetic, the rod which speaks of the power of the Spirit of God, and that jar of manna that is going to sustain you and I with provision, He says, that's what you need to come before me with every mountain. I'm going to ask you to take your cell phone right now. Take your cell phone in your hand right now. Take it quickly. We're going to pray in just a moment. The power of unity. Joshua couldn't do it himself. The priests couldn't do it. The men of war certainly could do it. Couldn't do it. But it was all of God's people joining together saying, God has called us to touch the city. Are you with me today? Touch the city. There are hurting people in the city. My daughter was just a camp counselor at the Bowery Mission out in there in Poconos and this summer, and she was working. She had some girls in her cabin and ministering to, and so she was there for about 7-8 weeks. She came home, and just a couple nights ago, she got a text from one of the 12-year-old girls. She says, pray for me, Christina. She's from the Bronx. She said, pray for me because my mother is completely stoned on crack, and my father is very angry. He is bombed. He is drunk. And he's very angry, and he's making a lot of noise. And I'm hiding right now in my closet because that's the only safe place for me to be. Church, I have news for you today. God has set you up in this church. He is setting the structure, the physical capacity, so that you can bring more people in. Why? Because by the grace of God, like they took Jericho, we're going to take Titusville and Oil City and Erie by the grace of God. We're going to take cities and nations by the grace of God. And we're going to set people on fire with the fire of the Spirit of the living God. Does that witness to you today? I trust it does. I trust it does. I'm going to ask you to take your cell phone out right now, and I want you to take a picture, get a picture out, maybe of a family member, maybe of a person that's not saved. in your own family, and you've been praying and you're seeking God. You need a body around you. You need men and women to come and say, I'm going to stand with you. I'm going to pray with you. We're going to believe God with you. Like Jericho, those walls that were there, those walls in your own family, in your own home, in your own business, in the town, in the community, whatever is burdensome on your heart. I want this all to be filled right now. Get your cell phone out. Get that picture. Bring those people or those circumstances to this altar. Pastor Phil is going to lead us in prayer. Would you get out of your seat right now, quickly right now, and think about every wall that's before you. And by the grace of God, as a body, like they did in the Old Testament, what did they do? It wasn't one or two. All the people of God came. And they said, by the grace of God. Come on, church, everybody, just like Israel did. Come on, everybody, come out. Everybody, everybody. Men, women, boys, and girls. We're saying, by the grace of God today, Father, every wall, every mountain, every bit of resistance, come close, come close. Come on, come on. Thank you, Jesus. Just lift that phone right now before the Lord. Come on, lift it up. Come on, lift your hand. Lift your voices. Presence, Lord. You are welcome. Oh, Jesus. Flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence, sing. Your presence, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, fill the atmosphere. Oh, hallelujah. Laboshata. I want you with the other hand, take the other hand and put it on the shoulder, or take the hand of the other person, however you feel. Put your hand on their shoulder, and by doing that, we are making a divine connection. The net is becoming stronger. The relationship, we're identifying with one another. That we can't make it alone. We're discerning the Lord's body that we can't make it alone. And so, Father, today, come on, church, begin to open up your mouth. Now is the time not to be silent. Joshua said, be silent. Now he says, the Lord said, now shout. It's time to shout. It's time to give him praise. Father, today, we give you praise today. Because greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Every wall. Every wall of resistance, every wall that's before us, not allowing us to go forward as a couple, as a single person, in my walk, in my relationship with Jesus, in my business, in my town, in my community, in my sphere of influence, there's been walls and resistance. And God, I thank you for Grace Fellowship because you brought them over Jordan. You brought them out of Egypt, as it were. You brought them into this new land, and you've given them the city. You've given them nations and towns and communities. And so, Lord, today we pray in the mighty name of Jesus that, Lord, every kingdom, every force of darkness that was against this people will come down. We thank you, Jesus, because you said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So as we have our cell phones before you, we think about brothers, mothers, sisters, family members. We think about bosses. We think about politicians. We think about people that try and now resist the work of God. And now today we pray, oh God, the captain of the Lord of hosts is with us. And now today we pray in the name of Jesus that those walls will come down. Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. And today, God, we agree together as brethren in this fellowship that the walls that are before us, oh, nothing, church, is impossible with God. You shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea. So today, Father, we're thanking you right now for you're about to break forth and those walls are coming flat down in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. On the count of three, do you hear me today? On the count of three, I'm going to ask you to do what Joshua said. And we're going to give God the biggest shout like we've never shouted before. On the count of one, did you hear it? On the count of two. And now on the count of three, give God a shout of victory. Hallelujah! 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 We shout! We shout! Victory! Cancer free! Marriage is put back together! Financial breakthrough, jobs, victories, healing, strength, joy unspeakable and full of glory, restoring the joy of my salvation, baptizing us with a fresh anointing of His Holy Spirit. Come on, put your hands together right now and give Jesus a shout.
Father, we have made a declaration here this morning that it is through the power of Jesus Christ,
yes,
that same Spirit that raised Him from the dead, it will dwell within us, it will quicken us, our mortal bodies will be set on a path. And Father, we pray right now in Jesus' name that that would carry with us, that word would carry with us through the rest of this week, that going on from this point, that God, we would be able to see your provision as it comes before us.
Hallelujah.
The walls coming down.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. That was awesome. That was awesome. Praise the Lord. I am just so grateful that I'm going to drop this. I'm not holding it very well at all. Thank you. I'm just so grateful for Pastor Peter being so open to just share what God is laying on his heart. Please don't walk away from this place feeling like, okay, that was my, you know, now I've got my good feelings going. No, what we were talking about was actually the indwelling and power of the Holy Spirit to change circumstances, change things. The walls of Jericho didn't just fall in one part. The entire wall came down. There were not segments that were just left here and there. The walls crumbled. And so in those circumstances that you're in, we're not saying, okay, we've got a little tiny thing here, a little tiny thing there. I understand progression, but there are certain things that the Lord just wants to cause to come down in Jesus' name. And I'm just so grateful for him being willing to just say, this is what the Lord is laying on my heart. This is what we're going to do. And I pray that this impacted you in a fresh way this morning. Father, this word, seal it within our hearts right now. Father, let us carry it, not to tomorrow, not to Tuesday, but Father, let this be something that literally changes our outlook on when we call upon your name. What we are looking for, Father, is for us to submit to you and allow your Spirit to move in us in a brand new way. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen.